That's the Andrew Collins Trio with Light from the Darkness from Andrew's latest album. It's entitled, and it was good. It's a concept album that uses as its theme the biblical 7 days of creation story, referenced by 8 individual tracks that merrily crisscross musical borders as they move along. And very good it is indeed. And it's our great pleasure to be able to talk to Andrew Collins today about the album. Great to have you join us, Andrew.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be talking with you.
I have to say, I absolutely love this new album. I'm going to actually start by saying that we're only going to be able to play 3 tracks today, but to me, this is an album that really needs to be enjoyed in its entirety. It is very much a concept album. What I'd like to do to start off with, though, is give you a chance to talk about why you wanted to make an album like this.
Okay, well, I've done lots of albums of instrumental music over the years that have all been kind of just exploring different genres, but each piece of, like the album, have all been just compilations of whatever I had written over the year. And at the end of like composing an album, I'd start to think, oh, what's the album missing? And I'd try and write a couple pieces that fill that void. But I've never, as an instrumentalist, tried to tell an actual story before this album. And so trying to come up with a concept that, you know, the listeners could relate to what I'm actually trying to say with the music was really intriguing to me. I had this idea many, many years ago, almost 10 years ago, to do an album on the 7 days of creation, semi-inspired by like the 4 seasons. I was trying to brainstorm what I was going to do for the next Andrew Collins Trio album. I wanted to try and dig a little bit deeper and push my writing and try and come up with concepts. I didn't know how it would come out in the end, but it was a real great challenge, and I think really pushed my writing and really pushed my, like, got me super excited about it because it was so new and fresh.
One of the things you're known for is the fact that you love to mix things up. You like to not only challenge yourself, but you love this whole idea of being able to cross musical borders. The remarkable thing about this album, I think, is as well as having, you know, we've got some folk in there, we've got some Celtic music, we've got some jazz, but there's actually a really strong classical side to this wrapped around all the bluegrass sounds that you hear as well. Was that something that you really enjoy? I know with the other bands you play with, I mean, you play with the Foggy Hogtown Boys, which is more old-time bluegrass-type music, but then you also got the Creaking Tree String Quartet, which is very much moving off into this chambergrass style of music.
Well, when I first fell in love with the mandolin, it was actually hearing the David Grisman Quintet, which they were kind of the forefathers of this genre, which is also referred to as new acoustic music, where these incredible instrumentalists in bluegrass, which is a very technically demanding music, harmonically it is usually like 3-chord type tunes, so it's harmonically more simple but technically really demanding. As these instrumentalists like Grisman and Tony Rice and Daryl Anger and Bela Fleck started exploring, like taking their technique and started exploring different genres, and through this exploration started writing music that drew from all of them. That was the music that got me interested in mandolin in the first place. I already loved bluegrass and everything, so that was the place to start as a mandolin player. So yeah, it just trying to educate my ear and hear these different sounds. And like, I haven't studied classical music formally, but I did do a bunch of, you know, learning Bach pieces and stuff because I really love the Baroque stuff. By virtue of having a string quartet, it kind of forces this album into a slightly more classical world. You know, again, that was another challenge for me to try and write all these string arrangements for a whole album's worth of material. I've done the odd string arrangement for albums that I've produced in the past, but to try and write something that still was supportive of the trio and featured the trio was yet another challenge. And I think by virtue of that, it really brings that classical influence out in the music.
Now, with the tracks themselves and the fact that you were going to base this album on the creation story, obviously there's a lot of scope to bring in different things. You know, the first track we listened to, Light from the Darkness, is this whole concept that, you know, something new is going to happen, you know, that this is this real awakening. And that is very much a track that tries to achieve that by opening up, doesn't it?
Definitely. I wanted, I tried to make it be something that, like, it starts off with just these little harmonics that create all this sense of space, and then this explosion of excitement through the mandolin playing this very classical and Baroque influenced figure that keeps modulating through the keys, and you have all these peaks where it's kind of, you know, I also see this not as a religious work, but like as a spiritual thing that connects in my mind to, you know, an evolutionist perspective as well, because you go through these stages of evolution in the creation of our planet and our universe. And I see the two stories as saying the same thing, if that makes any sense. I think also the benefit of having the story written and then me trying to tell it, like it really directed my writing in a way that I've never experienced before, and was really, like I said, it was challenging but really rewarding to decide, like, okay, as I'm reading what happened in the first day and in the second day, how do I find sounds and rhythms and vibes that kind of go with that? I can see it myself. Hopefully the listeners will as well.
No, I think it took you over a year to actually get the pieces written for this. I mean, imagine when you know, we don't just have a trio involved here. We've got yourself, Mike Metzatester, and James McElhenney on here, but you also have a full string quartet involved, right?
Yeah, so the process was everything. Like, I tour with the trio, and we are the core of this project. So Mike Metzatester and James McElhenney and I, you know, we are the Andrew Collins Trio. So the way I approached it was I'd write these pieces and then arrange them with the trio. And we really worked hard rehearsing for months. And we even did a residency at the Cadillac Lounge in Toronto to work the stuff up on stage and everything. And then as we had those arrangements solidify, I would write the string quartet parts to fit around what we're doing and add more color and depth, hopefully. And then as the recording approached, we had two rehearsals with the string quartet, and I had to gauge whether it all worked out in those rehearsals. Thankfully, everything did. And in fact, we never had a rehearsal with all four members of the string quartet, who are John Showman and Trent Freeman on violin, Ben Plotnick in his classical incarnation on viola, and Eric Wright on the cello. So we actually never even had a full rehearsal with all four people. We just had two rehearsals where three of them were able to make the first one, and, you know, one person couldn't make the second one, and the other person was able to for the second one. And then, so the first time I was actually hearing the string quartet parts was in the studio. So it was, like, really exciting.
One of the names that we haven't mentioned yet that certainly deserves to come into this conversation is the influence of Oliver Schroer, who I think certainly as a musician was able to move effortlessly between musical worlds. That I think that is really that space that you're in just now, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think the first time the seed for this project came to me was around the time that Oliver had done his Camino album. After he did this Camino walk, and he wrote a piece of music and recorded it in each cathedral along this Camino walk. And that, you know, it was such an intriguing project to me to have, again, this concept and have this instrumental music be connected to something other than just like an intellectual exploration. It was like really spiritually connected to him, and I'd say that probably is even how my mind ended up getting to the creation story. Because it's not like I had been thinking about, you know, I hadn't read the Bible previous to working on this project, and actually started reading it in research of this project. So his Camino walk and his pushing of boundaries was definitely a big influence for me.
I wanted to throw one other name into the mix, because I saw you play with Kevin Bright last year on the Ernesto and Delilah project. When I started to listen to this, some of the instrumentals reminded me a little bit of some of the work he did for that project, and obviously seeing you play with him.
You know, working with Kevin on that project especially, I mean, it's such great music. I'd gone through a period of, like, I was still, music is still my main love and everything. But after, you know, 15 years of doing this and it being my livelihood as well, like you sometimes lose your fire to be working and practicing the instrument sort of thing. And I was at a point where it wasn't like my passion, where I was thinking about it all the time. And working with Kevin and learning this material that he had for Ernesto and Delilah was really challenging stuff and really fresh to me. And it really rekindled my burning passion for mandolin in a way that I probably haven't felt for 10 years. And that was like a year and a half ago now. And I'm still like super excited about the mandolin in a way that I was 10 years ago and practicing all the time and really trying to get better again rather than just enjoying playing, if that makes any sense. So yes, he was quite an inspiration to me.
I'd like to take a break with another track from the album. I'm probably going to play my favorite track, although I want to be completely honest to our listeners that this is an album that really does deserve to be listened to from beginning to end. And it's kind of nice because, you know, it's that, you know, this is a concept album. I think if you really want to get as much out of it as possible, put it on, listen right through. And if people have the same experience I had, well, they'll just want to keep doing that because there is something really hypnotic about some of the tracks on there. But I want to talk about Firmaments, which is the second track. It might be one of the most accessible for people that are not used to listening to this type of music.
You know, I would probably agree with you. That was very inspired by, and not melody, but just the whole idea of it was inspired by an Edgar Meyer tune that Creaking Tree String Quartet played for years called Sliding Down, that was just this really beautiful melody that the mood and the backup and the vibe and time signature even like would change throughout the piece, but the melody always recurred. It was very impactful for us. It was a tune that we probably played every single show, and I really wanted to write something that had that ethereal, hypnotic vibe to it. And one of the ways on it's from his Edgar Meyer's tune Sliding Down is from this album Uncommon Ritual, that on it it's Mike Marshall, Edgar Meyer, and Bela Fleck, and throughout the piece they're each picking up different instruments so that the timbre of what is going on is evolving as they're changing the feel. And so we did that on this album where we each play two instruments, and when we play it live we do it this way as well, where we're each changing the instrument we're playing partway through so that the texture of what's going on is evolving through. But the melody is always this very, pretty melody with some movement, but it's also the structure and arrangement. And that's the only piece on the album that actually just features the trio.
Let's play that just now. This is the Andrew Collins Trio with Firmaments from their great new album. It's entitled And It Was Good. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. Thank you. That's the Andrew Collins Trio with Firmaments from their second album. It's entitled, and it was good, and it is absolutely a fabulous album. I have to say, since I started to play it, I have almost become a little bit of transfixed. And it's interesting, Andrew. Andrew is our special guest on the show today, and it's interesting you said about the fact that starting to work on this story provoked you to think more about these stories. And actually, I found since I actually started listening to the album and thinking, oh yeah, we've got this 6 days of creation and then this day of rest, and then, you know, with the final track on the album, which, you know, talks about all of this being achieved, it does actually kind of provoke you, not necessarily to pick up the Bible and want to read other things, but actually to think about, you know, life and our place in the universe. Did you find that as well?
You know, definitely. It's actually funny you should say that, because I've been spending a lot of time lately watching videos on YouTube about the vastness of space and the difference of scale. And so, yes, for me, definitely. And the more I look at it, the more mind-blowing sense of scale and everything is. We're such tiny things in this giant creation, and it's amazing to me.
Now, this album is up for 2 Canadian Folk Music Awards. It's up for Instrumental Group of the Year for the Andrew Collins Trio. But you're also, you've also been nominated for Producer of the Year with David Travis Smith, who is a great producer. He's worked on so many great projects. Can we talk about the production side of things? Because one of the things that is very clear is when you listen to this music, is how it really comes to life. I mean, I listen to it in the car, I've listened to it in the kitchen while I've been making dinner. Dinner's improved. And then listening in my studio as well. And one of the things about it is the way that all of these instruments seem to come alive when you listen to them.
Yeah, well, I first have to say that David, he recorded my first solo album, Little Widgets. And in the process of doing that, we became great friends. And then as years followed, I started getting into recording and producing, and he's been a huge mentor / supporter of me. So getting to work with him, this is the first album that I've done in any of my own bands and projects that in the last 10 years that I didn't record myself. I originally was planning on producing this myself, but as the project approached, I realized, I knew, like, with the string quartet, it's just too big a project to record in my studio with everyone live off the floor. So we went to Canterbury Music Company, and I'd already talked to David about having him record it. But as it approached, I realized that to really achieve this, particularly with the string quartet and not having played with all the material with them leading up to it, that I needed David's ears. And he studied classical music and conducting and composing at Yale. So he's got ears like no one you've ever met before. So in the studio, he was recording it, but he was really my ears so that I was able to just focus on my own performance and trust David in a way that I don't feel like I would trust anyone else aside from him. And he's a genius. So he did a great job and made the session go really smoothly. We recorded the whole album inside of 3 days. So it was really, really great to have him there. And then I took the project home and edited and mixed it myself. But yeah, it was a real treat to get to work with David in that way again.
Now, you have a CD release show in Toronto at Hughes Room on Friday, October the 21st. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of what people can expect if they get to that show?
Well, they're going to get to hear what the Andrew Collins Trio sounds like. We're going to be doing all the material off the album. We're going to be doing this one as a trio, because half the people in the string quartet live elsewhere. Trent Freeman lives out west, and Ben Plotnick just moved from Toronto down to Nashville. And trying to get everyone's schedules together just seemed really difficult to coordinate with the CD release. So it's just going to be the trio doing our music. And when we play a show, it's more than just us playing intellectual music. I mean, we really try to make it a show, so there's lots of singing involved as well, but we're going to play this whole album and play material off of our last album and some of the other fun stuff that we've cooked up for our show. And I'm hoping also to do something with the whole string quartet in the springtime.
And I think you have some other dates that'll be taking place. Will they again be trio shows?
Yes, we're the trio is going on the road in November for a couple of weeks, and we have a tidy little tour that starts in Calgary and takes us east as far as Regina, and then takes us all the way back into interior BC and works us back to Calgary. So we're going to be out there from the 12th of November until the 27th of November, and all the show dates are up on AndrewCollinsTrio.com website. And that is also where you can get the album up. Currently not, purposely not put the album up on iTunes. We're experimenting with just having people be able to get the music from our website so that you could get it at full CD quality, which you can't do on iTunes.
Yeah, I'd strongly recommend people actually buy a copy of the album because it really is that good. What does the future hold? I mean, you're very busy. I know you have your regular gigs with the Foggies. You're also in demand for session work and engineering work. What else are you working on?
I have a bunch of projects coming up for this year that I'm going to be recording and producing. I play in a band called Annie Lou with Anne-Louise Genet, and I've produced her last two albums, and we have another one coming up this winter, and looks like there's a good chance that I'm going to be doing the recording for Trent Freeman, who's one of the fiddle players on this album as well. And I have lots of studio work happening, and with the release of this album, it looks like the Andrew Collins Trio are going to be doing a fair amount of touring. We already have a spring tour out to BC planned in early April, and the summer is starting to get booked up for festival touring. And I'm planning on the trio being more of a focus for touring over the next couple of years.
I'd certainly encourage as many people as possible to check out your music. And again, I can't talk highly enough about this album. I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. Remember, if you want to check out the album, head to Andrew's website at AndrewCollinsTrio.com. You can listen to the music. You can get your copy, and then you can find out when there is an opportunity to hear the trio play. I thought we'd finish with the title track from the album, which is this wonderful celebratory final track. Can you talk a little bit about that, Andrew?
Well, you described it exactly how I saw it. It's like a celebration of the conceptually of the creation, but also in reality of the album. And it's kind of, you know, a bluegrassy type tune that is meant to be fun. Everyone, you know, throughout the album, there's definitely some improvising in the string quartet, but all of the members never really get an opportunity to show their thing as an improviser. So, and it was good. We all take solos, and it's just a fun romp with, you know, there's definitely arrangement at the beginning and end, but it's just meant to showcase everyone and give everyone the chance to have their voice and just to be a lot of fun.
And it's a great way to finish. I wanted to thank you again for spending the time to talk to us today. This is the Andrew Collins Trio with the title track from Andrew's new album, And It Was Good.
And well, thank you very much, Jen. I greatly appreciate it.
And it is very, very good. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. Thank you.
Thank you.